We come back tonight, of course we haven't been gone long since this morning, to the life of Abraham. And this morning, as his life and Lot's life are intertwined together, we're continuing on with our study of Abraham. And we've been looking at his great faith and why it is that he's so important as the father of faith to both Jews and Christians and Muslims. He's highly regarded by anyone who studies the Bible and studies the Old Testament, and as mentioned throughout the Bible, both Old and New Testament, how important Abraham is. I want to read tonight a story about Abraham, about his prayer life, and I want to especially just look tonight at this story of Abraham pleading with God. Abraham having a conversation, a dialogue with God about the city of Sodom, and calling out for God not to destroy the city if there are righteous people that are within. And more specifically, Abraham seems to be calling on God not to destroy the city if there's any righteous people in the city. And this story in Genesis chapter 18, it does have an impact on Lot. And next Sunday morning, I'm going to kind of work with this story, but from a totally different angle. Tonight, I just want to focus on the prayer of Abraham. And we will actually pick up in part of this story, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. So if you would you turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 18? Genesis chapter 18. I believe this story gives us a deeper look into the relationship, the depth of the relationship between God and Abraham. We try to understand why it is that Abraham is so highly spoken of by God and by pretty much everybody in the Bible. And we find within so many parts of the stories of Abraham things about his character that just seem to elevate him in many ways. This story also teaches us some important things about prayer and how connected we are to the heart of God when we pray. There's some basic questions that come up. Go on to that next slide if you would, Nate. There's some basic questions that come up and are of interest in this story. And so tonight as we study it, I want you to think about prayer and think about what it means. What does prayer change? When we pray, why do we pray? And what does it change? Does our prayer change God's mind? Does our prayer change God's action? Does our prayer cause God to change circumstances in people's lives? I think that's a fair question. It's a question all of us have if we're serious about prayer. And we wonder, how does prayer make a difference? And does my prayer make a difference? One thing about this story is it certainly says something about the importance and the meaning of prayer. It also says something about our persistence and our boldness with God. And that God responded to a man who prayed in faith. And this story is an example of that. All right, reading in chapter 18. I want to pick up in verse 16. And then read to the end of the chapter. Genesis chapter 18, verse 16. When the men got up to leave, they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he might direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sins so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing. to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike? Far be it from you, will not the judge of all the earth do right? Now this is Abraham talking to God. The Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Then Abraham spoke up again. Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people? If I find 45 there, he said, I will not destroy it. Once again he spoke up. What if only 40 are found? The Lord said, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 be found there? And he answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Abraham said, now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there? He said, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry. May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there? He answered, for the sake of the 10, I will not destroy it. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. This is an incredible story about prayer and about what God really wants from us. The first thing I notice in this story is kind of a sidebar, but a clarification of the identity of the three visitors. The first half of this chapter and story is a story we looked at many weeks ago about how three visitors came to visit Abraham and Sarah, and Abraham fed them, and they provided for them, and then the visitors gave Abraham an incredible message. He said, Abraham, a year from now, your wife Sarah is going to have a baby. Sarah laughed. It was unbelievable. It seemed impossible, but that's what the messenger said. That's the first part of the chapter. And now we have the second half of the chapter. After they tell Abraham and Sarah they're going to have a baby, and then we come to this part of the story. The visitors get up to leave, and they tell Abraham that Sodom is going to be destroyed. It says that the Lord says, should we tell him about this? Almost as if the three visitors have this conversation as they get up and they're ready to walk away and they kind of hesitate and they say, should we tell Abraham about this? And then they continue to do so and the Lord continues to speak. It would seem that it's clarified in this part of the story who these three visitors are. I know when we looked at this story, I didn't talk about this scripture, but it would seem like the three visitors here are two men and the Lord. And the reason I say that, let me read again in verse 17. It says, now I got to go back to this chapter. Verse 17 says, then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? And then he goes on and then it says in verse 20, then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and so forth and so on. Then verse 22 says, the men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. And so it would seem from that reading in that context that clearly this three visitors was made up of two men and the Lord, God himself. I don't know if it was the pre-carnate Jesus. I don't know what you would call the Lord here, if his presence in the Old Testament in this story is unique, but it is the Lord, and it's two men according to this. And there's this monologue, and the Lord says, should we tell Abraham about this? Do we want Abraham to know? Should I keep it from Abraham? And then kind of the internal question is, no, I'm going to tell Abraham about this. And so they do so. And then there's this conversation between the Lord. The two men are on their way to Sodom to check it out. Men are on their way to Sodom to check it out. And then you have what's left. You have Abraham and you have the Lord. And then you have this following dialogue, this conversation, this, what would you call it? The pleading of Abraham. It almost sounds like Abraham is negotiating with God. He's saying, God, I don't know about what you're about to do. We better talk about this a little bit. And God, I just want you to know I have questions about this, and this doesn't seem consistent with who you are. And God, I'm asking you to be patient with me while I talk to you about this. And he requests that God hears his prayer. And God, you better clarify what you're about to do, because this doesn't seem like you. There's something about this story that doesn't seem right. And Abraham challenges God. If you can even go that far as to use the word to say that Abraham challenged God about the destruction of the people in Sodom. I will say that I believe that God already knew how many righteous there were in the city. I have to believe that he already knew that. In fact, he knew that it was pretty much probably down to one man. Maybe his daughters, maybe his wife, who knows, Lot. And his family. That's not the point of the story that we're working on today, but I have to believe that God already knew that. So when Abraham asked the question, well, what if there's 50 righteous? It was easy for God to say, Abraham, if there's 50 righteous in this city, no, I wouldn't destroy that city for those 50. And Abraham says, well, what if it's just 5 less than 50? God, now that just don't seem like you. It doesn't seem like your nature. It doesn't seem like what I know about you. You know, sometimes we face circumstances where we don't understand God. We may even have questions for God. We may even think, God, I don't think you got it right. You know, that's a little strong and bold for us to say, but the truth is, if we admit it on the inside, we have questions about God sometimes. And we just wonder if God knows what he's doing. Sometimes we may think that way, and we may even pray that way. The truth is, that's how Abraham prayed. He said, God, I don't understand why. I don't understand. I see in this a great boldness of Abraham that he told God what he felt. God said, now I'll go down and see. I mean, I've heard it's pretty bad, but I think what God was really saying to Abraham right here is, Abraham, I'm going to go down to that city and I'm going to prove to you so you understand who I am and you understand my nature and you understand what I'm doing. I believe God was saying to Abraham, I honor your boldness. I honor your faith, and I'm going to show you something, Abraham. You watch what's going to happen in this story. I'm going to show you my power. I'm going to show you that I hate sin. I'm going to show you my justice. I'm going to show you my knowledge. But also, there's another part that's very important, and I'm going to mention it tonight, but we're going to focus on it, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. God says, I'm going to show you something else, Abraham. I'm going to show you my mercy. And so he goes down to the city. Abraham's boldness is amazing. Verse 23 says, Abraham approached the Lord. And again, he approaches God. He comes right up to God. I'm thinking of the importance of a scripture of holy boldness. We read in the New Testament that we're told as God's people to approach the throne of grace boldly. That's the word, boldly. Somehow we're told in the book of Hebrews that it's okay for us to go right in. We don't have to stand at the door. And you know how sometimes you don't want to disturb somebody and you just kind of, is it okay if I come in, you know? No, that's not what God wants from you and me. He wants us to say, God, please hear me. Please hear my heart. Please talk to me. Please show me your nature. I want to be connected to you. And so Abraham, with holy boldness, approaches God, and he questions God, and he says, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? That's kind of part of the question that we struggle with of the presence of evil. Abraham's kind of struggling with that basic philosophical question that sometimes we do too. Why does God allow evil to exist? If God's all-powerful and all-loving, why doesn't he just wipe everything evil out? And Abraham's wondering about that. God, are you going to wipe out the whole city and everybody in it if there's 50 righteous people? Abraham, the challenge is not that God would destroy the wicked. He seems to understand that. That's a part of who God is. But that he would also destroy the righteous with them. And that Abraham doesn't understand. Abraham might be a little naive about the pervasiveness of the wicked. It may be that Abraham doesn't understand how wicked Sodom is. That's possible. Abraham is naive about the pervasiveness of wickedness, but Abraham does understand justice. He understands that you get what you deserve. Verse 25 kind of highlights or illustrates what Abraham feels here. He says, far be it from you to do such a thing to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. That's kind of the issue, I think, for Abraham. God, you can't treat righteous and wicked the same. That's not who you are, he seems to say. Far be it from you. Far be it from you, Abraham says two times here. Uses that term. God responds not with justice, but God seems to be responding out of something else. Verse 26 says, "The Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." How does God respond to the Abraham saying, "God, you can't kill them both. It's just not right." God says, "Hey, I'll tell you what. If I find 50 righteous, I will give mercy to the rest." That's a different thing to think about. I think is teaching Abraham something about mercy here. This story is also about Abraham's intercession. Abraham is pleading with God for those he believes who are righteous in the city. Abraham must believe at this point that there are quite a few righteous people. That would seem that way. I mean, at least on the surface, he starts with 50, and he's not quite sure there's 50. I mean, I know it's bad down there, but 45 anyway. Well, God, what about 40? You know, just to be safe, 30, you know. Down he goes, down and down. He's kind of losing his confidence. As God says, "Abraham, if there's that many righteous, I'll spare the city." Abraham is pleading with God for those he believes is righteous. It would seem that he's praying, probably, Abraham believes that his nephew Lot is righteous, and there's at least one in there, I know, and I think there's more. He kind of gets all the way down to 10, and then Abraham says, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more." And Abraham does hold to what he said. He said, "God, once more," and he did it once more, and then he stopped. I don't know what to say about that, but Abraham did do what he said about that. But boy, he was awful bold getting down to that once more. It would seem that he's praying for his nephew Lot. Maybe he was. We know that he risked his neck to save him in another story. The point of this story is God heard the prayer of intercession that Abraham made. God hears the prayer of intercession, and God responds to it. He demonstrated something to Abraham. I think, for one thing, he demonstrated his ability to listen, his ability to, I don't know what to say, to work with Abraham. I know that seems like a human thing to say, but the truth is God will work with you wherever you're at if you're sincere and you're calling out to Him. I believe God hears our prayers. We don't have to be perfect to pray, but I do believe that we have to be humbled. If my people humble themselves, that's the beginning. God hears the prayer of the humble. And He hears the prayer of those who call out to Him. Not that we have to be perfect, because none of us would if that was the case. But God listens to a man who's humbled before Him. He says, "I know I'm just dust and ashes. I know that, God. But, you know, I think because Abraham really was what he said there. That's what he believed about himself. What did he say to God? He said, "God, but I got to talk to you. I got to tell you what I'm feeling. I got to tell you what I think. I got to tell you what I believe." You know, and God helped him out. God worked him through it. God settled Abraham. And God, who was God? He never changed who he was. But he worked right with Abraham all through this story and this prayer. And the truth is, when you call out to God, I believe He hears your prayer. He knows where you're at. Whatever it is you're wrestling with or struggling with or praying fervently about, God knows your prayer. God only knows what He had withheld in punishment. Sometimes we may not know what God does because we pray. We only see what happens in life, but we don't know where God has changed course or changed something, not His nature, but has changed something He may have going to do because people prayed. This story just reminds me that I don't know everything about what God's going to do. God might change His mind. Boy, the Scripture says God doesn't change His mind, so now I'm wrestling with it. Well, what did he do here? Did he change anything? Did he change Abraham? Did he help Abraham's faith to grow stronger because he listened and he heard and he spoke to him? I guess one of the questions that come to my mind practically when I read this story, the question strikes me, who might you intercede for and God will be merciful to them? I wonder if we pray and we intercede like Abraham, whose life might be changed. Who is the person or the people that maybe you can come before and cry before God to, and God will change something in history, and they will make a decision and a choice to turn to Him? I don't know, but I do know that intercessory prayer makes a difference. Intercessory prayer makes a difference. So does Bible school. I don't know where that came from. Boy, was Abraham persistent. Once again, verse 29 says, once again, verse 30, once again, verse 31, once again, verse 32, once again, once again, once again. Don't give up. Don't give up. God does something with your prayer that you may know nothing about. That's what this story tells me. That's what the parable of the persistent widow tells me. God does something with our prayers that we don't know of. Don't ever give up. Don't ever think they're not heard. Don't ever think that God doesn't know. Abraham's pleading was not respectful, but it was passionate. I think of the scripture that says, but let your request be made known to God. Several scriptures, Philippians. Don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. God wants you to pray. Abraham had a deep sense of right and wrong, a deep sense of righteousness. Maybe he wasn't always right. He wasn't always on target, but he believed deeply and he came to God, and God honored that so much. Sometimes I wonder, was God amused by Abraham? I use that word loosely. Was he amused or was he amazed by Abraham? You know, was he amused that this guy, this little guy, would just talk so boldly to him? Or, you know, was God so amazed with the faith of Abraham? Jesus would later say, will I find such faith on the earth as this persistent widow? And I wonder if God and the story of Abraham and what he'd say to us is God amazed by faith? Yes, he is. We're told that many times in the scripture. I know that he responded to every question Abraham had. He hung with him. In the end, it seems to me that God, number one, he destroyed the city like he said he was going to do in the beginning. Number two, he proved his nature to Abraham. He demonstrated Abraham. He's a God of justice, but also a God of mercy. And that's a great thing to remember. We're going to focus more on that particular element of mercy next Sunday morning, I believe. But I want to say in closing tonight, I know our kids are prepared downstairs. I'm very grateful for that. And so I hope we have a fun time down there with them and tell them thank you. But I want to say to you tonight, God hears your prayers. He knows your heart. Don't ever give up. Your prayers may make the difference in someone's life that you will not understand in this life. It may be that it won't be till you get to heaven that you know that your prayers made a difference in someone's life. So be faithful in prayer. Be persistent in prayer and know that it makes a difference. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this great story of prayer, of persistence, of boldness, of intercession. I pray, God, that we would be encouraged to pray and lift up others up to you, I pray. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for the food downstairs and each person that's here and our children who worked on it. In Jesus' name, amen.